Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. They found a better way to mortgage so you can focus on making your new house home. Rocket Mortgage. Push button. Get mortgage. Sunday, it's an NFL on CBS doubleheader with many of you seeing two of the most dynamic young quarterbacks in the game airing it out when Mahomes and the Chiefs welcome Watson and the Texans to Arrowhead followed by the Cowboys visiting the Jets at MetLife. It all begins with JB and the guys getting you focused for football on the NFL today at noon Eastern, 9 Pacific on CBS. Our toll-free line, 855-212-4CBS, is brought to you by Geico. Great news. You can save a bunch of money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com. And in 15 minutes, you can save 15% or more on your car insurance. One of the best, our buddy Jonesy, Steve Jones in Penn State land, Happy Valley, big road trip to Kinnick Stadium in Iowa City on Saturday night under the lights as they take on the 4-1 Hawkeyes. Big road test for the 5-0 Lions. How you doing, Jonesy?
It is so good to be with you again. Your show sounds better than ever, my friend. Really does.
My man, thanks, Jonesy. Hey, so this is huge for Penn State. I think they're a better football team than Iowa, but they will have their hands full in this game on the road like always.
Oh, I think you're absolutely right about that. I think they will because Iowa's going to play better in that atmosphere. It's going to be a stripe out. They're going to wear different uniforms, the whole deal. Stanley's a good quarterback. Their defense is really good. I mean, you can talk about the offense struggling at Michigan the way they did, but they only gave up 10 points. If you were to pull Kirk Ferentz aside before the game, Scotty, you know that if you pull him aside and say you're going to give up 246 yards and 10 points, he's probably feeling pretty good. He's going to walk out of there with a win. So they've got a defense that can really play. Penn State's got a defense that can really play. So this could end up being a tug of war out there.
I mean, I can't even believe. I was looking at your schedule the rest of the way, and it is absolutely brutal. I mean, you're playing in Iowa City, then home against Michigan, at East Lansing, at Minnesota. They're undefeated. Indiana at home, they've been able to score a lot, and then you play at Columbus late November and finish it up with lowly Rutgers at home that you'll spank. But that stretch between Iowa and Ohio State, it's as brutal a schedule as I think I've seen.
And the next time we talk, we're going to know exactly how good Penn State is because of that schedule. I thought this schedule, and these schedules are put together years in advance, but I thought this schedule was really perfect for this team. Come out of the gate, easy game. Then you play a better team the next week. Then you play Pitt the next week, so that's a better team. Then you get a bye week to reassess. Then they went to Maryland, first road test, won big, came back, played homecoming. Now they've got this game, Michigan, Michigan State, you mentioned, then a bye week to then heal up a bit, reassess, and then hit the stretch run. So there's a lot of elements to the schedule where you have a lot of tough games, obviously, in a row, but there's that bye week built in the middle that allows you to pull back a little bit.
Jonesy, did you think that when McSorley left that you guys would be this good?
I thought defensively they'd be this good. Let's start with that because they're deep, and I'll give you a good example. Micah Parsons in the Maryland game is playing a terrific opening quarter, and he's probably the best defensive player in the field. And then gets a targeting call. They bring in Jesse Luketta to replace him. Luketta then becomes the best defensive player on the field. That's the kind of depth they've developed. Offensively, you mentioned McSorley. That means Sean Clifford stepping in. Clifford, of course, hadn't started the game since he was a senior in high school. But you could always see, because I'm at practice all the time, that this guy can really throw the football. The element that's really helped him is his ability to occasionally tuck it in and run it. And that really benefits you in the red zone because if you have a quarterback that's a pro-style quarterback, in the red zone you don't have to account for him. But a quarterback that can move, and Clifford can move, now you have to account for them in the red zone, and that means they have to take a player out of the coverage to do it.
Tell me about this kid, this pass rusher, Gross Matos. I mean, my God, he's like tearing it up for you guys.
He's been incredible. He's had two outstanding years here. He had 20 tackles for losses last year and 14 sacks a year ago. So he comes back this year, and he's really picked up where he left off. He's already, what, 6.5 sacks in the season going into this game. Just a terrific edge rusher who has a great first step, but he's also got a powerful upper body. So when they go sometimes with a four defensive end package, they can flip him inside at a defensive tackle spot and play him from there and get pressure up the middle with him.
How about the corner, Reed, who's come up big with a couple of huge picks for you guys?
Reed is, you want to talk about, quote, student of the game? He watches more video than anybody, to the point where he even watches video on Penn State's receivers so he can cover them in practice. That's the kind of student that he is out there. So he anticipates moves because of all the video he watches all the time. So he's an excellent cover guy, and because he watches as much video as he does, he has a pretty good anticipation of how a receiver is going to run a route, what the favorite route happens to be, and what the quarterback might be thinking. That's how much he pours into it.
I love this kid, Castro Fields, as well, that not only does he, like, I'm watching him the other day against Purdue, whatever, or maybe it was another game, but I saw him just making tackles and, you know, making plays that had nothing to do with, you know, defending the pass. He was coming up and making hits and getting involved in plays in front of him as opposed to running backwards and trying to defend the pass.
He's a complete football player. I mean, so he will attack the run, and he'll also rush off the edge. As a defender, he brings length to the corner, long arms, 6'1 frame, and now as a veteran, there's a big play he makes in the Maryland game a couple of weeks ago where he baits the quarterback into making the throw, and he picks it off at the goal line and essentially creates a 14-point turnaround in that game. You just can't put a price at with your corners on the experience that Reed and Castro Fields have.
What are they saying at Penn State about, like, what it'll be like to recruit now with these states that are trying to impose this new law about paying players for their likeness and everything that Gavin Newsom, the governor of California, passed? Now all these copycats are doing it. What are like the Penn State football program athletically in terms of their recruiting? How will it affect? Because a lot of kids are going to want to think that they're going to go somewhere like California, and they think they're going to make money because they think they're famous or something. Is that affecting recruiting in any capacity, do you think, down the road?
Not yet, and I think they'll take a wait and see attitude on it. This is how I view it. The bill in California does not go into play until January 1st, 2023. So right now there's about 39 months before that goes into play. I think that gives the NCAA 27 months of no pressure but to sit down and work this out for everybody across the board without the pressure of doing it. Now, when you get to the last 12 months, you and I know it gets to the last 12 months, and there's going to be a lot of pressure to get something done. But I think they need to sit around the table, go through the positives, go through the unintended consequences, and try and weed out as many of those as possible. And when they do, I think it'll benefit the student-athletes. That this next 27 months, I think, will be very important to shape how this is going to be going forward.
How about the receiving? Guys like Hamler, Dotson, and others, they've got so many guys that are making plays. I love that Clifford's throwing it to different guys, and they have so many different guys producing. I love Hamler and Dotson.
Well, you should. I mean, Hamler's got 4.27 speed, and he just gets out there, and he has moves, and he is a big play home run hitter. Dotson, on the other side, is about as natural a receiver as you'll ever see, to the point where you ask yourself when you watch him, just say in practice, is it really that easy? Even though you and I both know it's really hard. That's the kind of player he is. And then Pat Freiermuth and Nick Bowers have turned into a really good 1-2 punch at tight end. So when they're out there on Dotson, on Hamler, on Justin Shorter, they still have those tight ends that they can throw to that can be critical cogs in the passing game.
Do you think tell me what the reaction was on like campus and with Franklin? I saw him do the presser where he talked about the, you know, the alumni that wrote the nasty letter about the kid's hair, which I found to be somewhat disturbing and ridiculous at the same time. But did you, like, what was the reaction of everybody around the program to someone actually, like, attempting to, you know, make that letter into some kind of form of reality? And then I liked what Franklin, the way he handled it. What did you think?
Man, I think you summed it up perfectly. That's the way almost everybody feels about it around here. It's ridiculous. It's disgusting. It's insulting. I think Jonathan Sutherland himself said it was rude. And this is the problem I have. The problem I have is this. Why is somebody from 30,000 feet sending a letter to a student athlete, right, that they don't even know? Jonathan Sutherland is a Dean's List student. Jonathan Sutherland is somebody who gives back in the community. He's one of the unquestioned leaders on the team. We're always looking for leadership all the time. And so who cares what his hairstyle is? He's also, by the way, you'll check him out, a really good football player. So he embodies all the good things that you're looking for in a student athlete. And so you're going to judge somebody from 30,000 feet that you don't even know. It's one thing to criticize somebody you know for good reason. It's another thing to criticize somebody and you have no clue who they are whatsoever. And that's where it goes back to your point. Disgusting and ridiculous. I think were the two words that you used, and I think you're spot on with both.
Did you, when they went to College Park, what did you think? Did you sit there and look at your partner and in crime in the booth and say, what is happening here? I mean, you rolled them like a cigar. It was unbelievable, the beating you put on them. I'm troubled by the Rutgers, Maryland, Nebraska thing. It's just me, Jonesy. I still think Nebraska should be in the Big 12, and I don't like what, you know, frankly, I hate to say it, but Maryland and I think Maryland's done decent in basketball, and they've been a lot more involved. Rutgers is a laughing stock. I don't care what anybody says, but what you did to them there was the epitome of, I think, what's wrong. They let these three in, and it just never seemed to weigh right anymore.
Yeah, you know, going with 14, I could understand going with 12. I mean, splitting into two, six, you know, team divisions. I mean, that made sense to me. You know, the addition, I know you can talk about the 16 million homes between New York, Baltimore, Washington, and so forth, but it has changed the dynamics of the conference. There's no question about that. And you're right, Penn State went in there, and Penn State picked off a pass. Jan Johnson did in the opening drive. They scored on an 8-yard run, one play. You know, scored again, up 14-0. Fields picks off the ball at the goal line, kills the only legitimate Maryland drive. Penn State goes the other way, 95 yards, it's 21-0. And, yeah, but Jack Ham and I looked at each other before the game, and we both said to each other privately before we went on that it was a distinct possibility they could run that team out, and they did.
Yeah, they sure did. They're not that bad.
No, they're not. You're right.
They were that bad that day, but they're really not that bad overall. I think Rutgers is. Do you think that what do you think of that high school guy, Campanelli, getting that job? Do you think he has any shot in hell? Because he was a hell of a high school coach. His whole family's legendary in North Jersey. The Campanellis are like gods around football and high school football in this area.
Well, you know what? I hope he does well there because obviously he's worked hard to get to this point as an interim, but you're also throwing a curveball in this. His starting quarterback, Arthur Sitkowski, and his running back, Raheem Blackshear, announced after the fourth game that they're not playing the rest of the season, that they're going to redshirt the rest of the year. So what does that do to his odds of putting something together when two of his players are saying, no, we'll wait till next year to play? And that happened in Houston with King, the quarterback, and the wide receiver. And we're going to get to a point with this, and you know darn well it's a possibility, where a team is in the thick of the race to go to the college football playoff, and then in game eight they lose, and a couple of guys say, you know what, we're going to shut it down, we're going to get ready for the draft. Yeah, I'm concerned at some point we're going to get to that point.
Yeah, I think you're right, Jonesy. I really do, and it is troubling, no doubt. I can't wait to watch this game. I think it's going to be a nail-biter in Kinnick on Saturday night under the lights, 7:30. Have a great game, Jonesy. Always a pleasure having you on. Love following the Nittany Lions. We'll see how they do in this tough stretch coming up. We'll be in touch.
Always awesome to be with you, my friend. Thanks so much.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.